Morning all. Welcome to a podcast that's not about the European Football Championships. Although I did get quite excited for a brief period on Saturday night when England were playing well, but then they reverted back to being, England really. So my enthusiasm for the football is waning, which is quite good really, because it means we can have a little mental break from high-level sport in time for the Tour de France starting in a couple of weeks now. It's rolling around relatively quickly, isn't it? And interestingly, since we last spoke, we have seen the conclusion of the Critérium du Dauphiné, which we will be talking about. There's not been too much coverage online or on TV, certainly, of the Tour de Suisse, so I've been trying to scramble around online and see what's happening in that particular Tour de France build-up race, and the answer has been it's been quite good, with some proper good names, winning stages, so that's always a good indicator and a good marker, isn't it? Sadly, we've had more motorbike crashes and more illness, severe illness caused by accidents in bike races, so I think that's a subject that's not going to go away particularly soon now, is the subject of how races can be broadcast using the motorcycle. So yeah, plenty to get our teeth into. And the age-old Fendrian podcast subject, I feel like we should always start the show with a weather report for the Fens. And it's not great, is it, again? It's warm, it's humid, kind of 80% humidity, it's sort of 15, 16 degrees and we're not even at 8 o'clock in the morning. But boy, when it's been raining, it's been properly raining in recent days. And although it was kind of Sunday, I was out for maybe 2.5 hours, something like that, and the actual conditions felt almost weird, because there was very little wind, it was properly still, it was properly warm, you know, there was a real heat coming down, and yet there was quite a sort of 90-100% cloud cover, and for most of the day it kind of intermittently rained. And I think that seems to be the theme of this summer. As always, at the start of summer, those high quality tomes, the Daily Express and the Daily Mail, talk about 1 week out it's going to be the hottest summer on record, and then the next week they talk about it being the wettest summer on record or the coldest, all of that. I think we've just got to take the weather as it comes. I get the feeling again though, as we speak on Tuesday and there's bike racing to come locally on Wednesday evening, that we might have some more challenges, because there's still a lot of surface water that even this high humidity is not absorbing quick enough, and you can't put yourselves in dangerous positions, certainly not for a midweek club event. But we'll see. Hopefully there'll be a little turn, we'll get a dry day, and we'll see the roads dry out a little bit. So that would be good, would be nice. So onto the weather in the Alps for the Critérium du Dauphiné, which has not looked particularly similar to what we've experienced in this part of the world. It's looked pretty warm, pretty sunny, and it's been kind of shirt sleeved order and shorts for the supporters watching. So well done them. The race itself, Alberto Contador, when we were talking this time last week, had stolen a bit of a march on Chris Froome in the time trial. But actually, on the mountaintop finishes to Vourgenet and Mary Bell, who sounds like a judge off a cake-making contest, we saw Froome was clearly superior, making gaps, and he managed to drop Richie Poor. And the only rider really who looked at that stage as competitive was Romain Bardet, who got away with Thibaut Pinot and managed to not win the stage, which is kind of like, I mean, he must be sick of seeing Pinot in a breakaway, because if they're in a breakaway together, as with the Tour de France last year when Steve Cummings caught them in the last K and went round them, regardless, those two, when they ride together, seem to struggle to actually complete anything, to finish the job off, or certainly Bardet does. And then we saw the final day, which was pretty epic. Contador attacked and attacked and attacked. What was interesting from that was that you could certainly see that at this stage, and maybe there's some more training and some more top-end work that he can do, some painful little intervals, certainly at this stage his attacks didn't have the zip to properly distance. He could kind of get that 20, 30 metres away, but then he didn't have that, probably that 2 minutes of sustained power that would have got him properly clear and would have allowed him to settle. So he was always working on the gap rather than settling down and maintaining that gap and trying to break the will of those behind. And as a result, he was pretty easily containable. And then on the last climb, he managed to not actually get away or attack or get any time at all. The battle for the podium looked reasonably stale with Richie Port, but he managed to lose some time somehow in the final finish and lost his podium spot. It was a good race for Dimension Data. Steve Cummings was miles ahead on that final stage and managed to finish the job off with some comfort, really. He's getting that reputation now, isn't he, as a breakaway artist. He managed it. He's shown his flexibility because he came from a small group back to win in Mond in the Tour de France last year. There was the Tirreno Adriatico stage win where he managed to fire off with a couple of Ks, even less I think, to go. And now he's shown that he can do it from longer distance. And you wonder actually now whether Cummings could be the better bet. If he was to change tack slightly, he could be the better bet to end the wait for a British Paris-Roubaix win. And let me tell you why I think that, because he's got that sustained level of power that he can manage over 50Ks. Okay, this was a 50K breakaway through some sort of third, second category mountains. But the actual power output, the kind of you're on the power, you rest a bit, you're on the power, you rest a bit, that kind of process, I think he could actually be the man if he chose to go that way. He seems to like the idea, though, of being this Grand Tour domestique deluxe in terms of, you know, keeping his riders safe, maybe Cav, Bösenhagen, during flatter stages of bike races, and then getting his chance for the stage win, the odd stage win here or there. And it may be that's his lot. And if suddenly he had the burden of leadership and eight people at his command in northern France for Paris-Roubaix, that he might not actually react to that as well as he reacts to having this sort of leadership thrust upon him when he gets the odd day of freedom but goes back to work anonymously in the bunch. So, interesting, but a point maybe we'll come back to, well, maybe next April when the classics could roll around again. And the other big bike race that's going on, moving away from the Dauphiné, is the Tour de Suisse. Happy to see Fabian Cancellara winning the prologue time trial in that one. There's also been stage wins for Peter Sagan. And a friend of the podcast, Jürgen Rolands, was second in that prologue time trial and managed to snaffle the leader's jersey on day two. So massive congratulations to him. And to his Lotto team. I know there's a bias and there's quite a lot of emphasis on that team at times on this show. But, you know, we make no apologies for that. Everyone's allowed to have a favourite, aren't they? And in our case, it's young Jürgen and his Lotto squad. So good luck to him for the rest of the Tour de Suisse. I can't foresee a situation where the high mountains will be kind to him, but you never know. There are people saying that it's a flatter Tour of Switzerland than in recent years, so maybe he can. That would be something. So there we have it. In summary, where we are at with the racing as the build-ups to the Tour de France carry on. Quite a week actually coming up in the pro sport, so I'm not sure what we're going to find to talk about. We might even try and get an interview or something next week on the show. We'll see. It only remains for me to say then, thank you everyone for your time, and listen again next week, tell your friends, give us some feedback, all of that via the website, which is fendrien.eu. It's a Tumblr page, but it's got links and pictures and all that kind of stuff. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and get involved. We'd love to hear from you. So until next week, enjoy the weather. But enjoy your bike. Speak to you soon and thanks for listening. Bye-bye.